Hi, I'm Tim Huckabee from Internology, and on behalf of Bytes by MSDN, I am excited because today, well, I call him the godfather of design at Microsoft. We have Bill Buxton. Bill, thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure.
So my favorite part of BillBuxton.com is the multi-touch devices I have known and loved. Can you go there a little bit? And can you, do you mind also covering like how you came from the music industry? You're a composer.
Yeah.
To where you are at Microsoft right now. I think that's really interesting stuff.
So we can actually do all of that pretty easily. The first thing is that, yes, I was trained as a performer and a composer, and I happened to have an affinity to electronic synthesizers and instruments. Multi-touch, in my experience, part of it started around 1984 when I wanted to make a percussion instrument. And so we built this thing that would do that. So you could actually bang it and slide your hand to change the pitch as you slid. And it had to be multi-touch to do that. So we made a capacitive multi-touch tablet, and that was the initial motivation.
What year is this?
84.
1984.
And that was published, we published that in 1985. And I think that's probably the first published thing in the literature around multi-touch. But we weren't the first to actually do it. There were others before us. A guy named Bob Boy at Bell Labs preceded us and had, with a screen and so on. And there's some other work even at the University of Toronto where we did ours. So that says, first of all, if you're really motivated from the application, you'll think up needs around gesture and so on, and you'll figure out how to make it work. You just need to be motivated and not be constrained of knowing how hard it is. We didn't know this was unusual or hard. We were too uneducated to be stupid. And the second thing is, and we had a really good team, the second thing is that the dates are really important because from 85 at least when we published, even though other people had been working on it, it wasn't well known. But at that point from 85, the spring of 85, the concept of multi-touch was well established then in the literature, and there was a body of literature that followed that. And so it's interesting, it was only around 2007 with the release of the iPhone and Microsoft Surface that it came above the radar. And this comes to something I call the long nose of innovation. And so this speaks really a lot to the nature of innovation. First, rule of great innovation, usually it's the consequence of unintended results of somebody trying to do something different. It's not, I'm going to invest to be able to do this problem. No, unintended results. Second, in the digital world and both information technologies and telecommunications, the length of time from first invention to maturity, where I measure that as a billion-dollar industry, takes at least about 20 years. And one of the consequences of that says that anything that's going to become a billion-dollar industry in the next 10 years is probably already 10 years old. And that changes the whole perception of how you organize and approach innovation, because it says that it's far more to do with mining, prospecting, mining, refining, and goldsmithing to turn something into more than its weight in gold than it has to do with alchemy, which is the notion of where you can invent something brand new from materials. And so the multi-touch is a wonderful example. And you notice that most of that long nose is before the hockey stick curls up and it's below the radar. But there were multiple companies that were started and failed and a lot of research along the way. So by the time it was ready to pop up, it was getting almost ready for prime time, but we're still in the very early phases. It hasn't reached anywhere near what it's going to become. And so so multi-touch is interesting. I wrote the multi-touch systems I've known and loved because I've been involved with it a long time. I care really a lot about innovation, not just as a historian, but as a manager and a researcher who wants to understand, by studying history, how we can manage our technologies and our expectations and our businesses in a way to cultivate more, become more innovative, and what are the strategies. But you have to understand the nature of the beast before you can figure out how to build a strategy to improve it. And like any business school, you do a case studies, and multi-touch was one. You could study the mouse just as easily, but these are things that fascinate me, not just the science, but actually the environment that lets it happen.
Right. So another thing I'm fascinated that you talk about and you study is digital devices as cultural artifacts. What the heck does that mean? Can you explain, before I give you back to your adoring fans, can you explain that?
So this ties back into my musical background and being married to a professional painter who also owns an art gallery. I grew up in the arts as well as the sciences. What we normally think of cultural artifacts are things like cinema, painting, film. Oh, I said film, but photography, literature,
music,
dance, opera, you know, theater. And if you look at how these cultural artifacts, when they're produced and performed and published, they're taken seriously. And when you read about them, and if you're going to be taken seriously as a critic and as a reviewer, you cannot talk about any of these things without talking about the historical, cultural context and what it means to the future and place it in a time relative to what's happened before. The people who made those artifacts knew the history. The people who write about it know the history. And they treat these things seriously in terms of their relevance to the culture and society and the values of where we live. Now, if you take, and I did this with some journalists recently, and I said, okay, list those things, like theater, dance, so on and so forth. And here's on the list here is also digital technology. Which one of these things do you think is going to have the most impact on the culture you live in the next 10 years? 99% put up digital, not the others. Then I said, which ones are going to affect your job and the quality of life? The digital one every time. I said, so these things, what we do, this digital technology, is a cultural artifact, which is more influential than all of these other things you take really seriously. But if you reviewed a novel by Margaret Atwood, the way you reviewed a book, you'd say, well, it comes in a hard cover. It fits nicely into my briefcase, and the pages turn without falling out. That's pretty nice. The paper's good. It's a nice 10-point serif font. I can read it well. There's a high luminance contrast between the ink used and the paper. And by the way, there's a story. Right? And that's how we review technology. And yet, it misses all these other things. Like, if I'm making something like an e-reader, what does that mean in terms of the culture of reading? To journalism? No, let's go even further. What does that mean if we destroy journalism through mismanaging how we do digital media? So that, what does that do to democracy and our values of that? I mean, right? And it's just, it goes on and on and on. And simply, what we do doesn't occur in a vacuum. And the people on the journalism side who are speaking to, it's important that they see it that way and start running that way so that the society that's affected by this can make informed decisions because somebody with informed critical abilities is making commentary about it. And I'd say if I turn the mirror back on ourselves as the purveyors of these technologies, is that we have to understand this as well so that we take this into account. And one of the reasons I came to Microsoft 5 years ago was because it is the first lab. When I was at Xerox PARC, there were ethnographers, anthropologists, sociologists, and social scientists, but they were in separate groups and departments, more or less. At Microsoft Research, they're integrated in the team, and every concept of what we're doing in research is as, if not more, driven by the social science, the ethics, and so on. There's all of this, as is the engineering and the computer science. And when other people were trying to recruit me, I just said, it's not even worth your while me going to interview. Because I'm going to MSR, because I believe in the values that Rick Rashid, who brought me in, I just respect them so much, there's no other place, because I want to support it, make sure it's successful. And I'm not blowing smoke. That's actually what happened, and it's actually why, because I still, my roots are in the humanities, and I care terribly about what happens. We have kids, and it's like I care about the future, and these decisions we make matter, and I think they deserve better commentary.
And clearly your passion comes through. Unfortunately, our time here is so finite. Yeah. I could sit here and listen to you all day. But our time here is so finite. I have to let you back to your adoring fans. Thank you so much, Bill.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate
it.
And thank you guys for watching.